get it out of the way. Now there's no defending, because no one has to win. Start with the ending.
It's the best way to begin. David Wilcox, the American singer-songwriter, that is the perfect song for this segment. Rebuilding Love, it's a 9-week series with myself, my wife, and relationship guru, psychologist, Dr. Sue Johnson. We tried 28 years of doing marriage our way. It ended. However, we just came back, my wife and I, from renewing our vows after a long separation. And I don't want to screw it up again. So I asked Dr. Sue Johnson to help my wife and I rebuild our love. She has this online program called Hold Me Tight. It's also a book. If you are interested, you and your partner, going through this online program, Hold Me Tight, go to drewmarshall.ca, click on Hold Me Tight, and register. I guarantee you that it will have a serious impact on your relationship.
A good one, positive impact. Let's clarify that.
Okay. We've been doing these series. If you missed last week, the video for last week is on our website, drewmarshall.ca. Click on the Hold Me Tight thing. There's two Hold Me Tight things. One is, hey, you want to watch the videos? That's the one you want to click if you want to watch the videos. Hey, you want to sign up for the program? That's the one you want to click if you want to sign up for the program. Am I clear?
Yeah. Can you double click so they both go at the same time?
Ooh, that would be like putting instant coffee in a microwave.
Why don't we call our...
IT people. Nice one, Tim.
I can't think of their name.
Anyway, my brain. This week is the audio conversation of the video, which will be posted next week. It's revisiting a rocky moment. Conversation number three with Sue Johnson, my wife, and I. And this is...
Just
we
one?
Start to get... Stop it.
Okay.
We start to get a little... Let's just say I use the phrase sexy time in this conversation. This is revisiting a rocky moment. Hey, everyone. We are back with Dr. Sue Johnson and, of course, my wife, Bev. She's still with me, so that's good news. And, of course, the book we talk about all the time is Hold Me Tight, and it's 7 Conversations for a Lifetime of Love. Dr. Sue Johnson, you know, Sue, I realize I haven't read this before, so I'm going to do it now. Developer of emotionally focused couple therapy and the most successful approach to building loving relationships. That's a lot to put on your tombstone.
Yes, it is. And, we're actually very, very proud of it. I mean, you know, the bottom line is, in terms of couple therapy, there's hardly any research, outcome research, showing any kind of couples therapy works, except for us. And we have 20 positive outcome studies, 4 positive long-term follow-ups, 9 studies of we know how change happens. I mean, we're pretty unique in this field. We're pretty... I'm biased, of course, but
go ahead, toot your horn, toot it.
We're way out there ahead. We're so far ahead in helping couples that it's silly. We're way, in fact, people don't believe me. You know, it's like New York journalists don't believe me. You know, I say we can do this, and I sound like some crazy used car saleswoman, you know, like, and you can hear them thinking, nah, you know, she's just some strange Canadian psychologist. Who the hell is she? I can hear them, you know, it's like they're, and I don't know how to say to them, well, you know what? You bring me your relationship and watch our tapes, see what we do with couples. It'll blow your mind. Yeah. You know, it's like it's wild stuff, but hey, it's, the point is, it doesn't matter if people don't know about it and they're not using it. It doesn't matter. We've wasted our time. From our point of view, we wanna impact people. So, you know, all those studies don't matter if nobody's listening, which is why I do things like this.
Like this, exactly. That's what I was gonna say. Well,
apart
again,
from the fact that I like you guys and it's fun.
Oh,
I
mean, don't stop. Don't.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, so just recapping, the first conversation was Easter Saturday during the show, and it was just a bit of a recap as to what this Hold Me Tight stuff is all about. And then the first conversation was about demon dialogues, where we both get trigger each other with the same kind of insane nonsense. It gets us going in a circle. By the way, I'm going to summarize, and then you tell me how awesome I was at summarizing. Okay.
All right.
And then the second one was finding your raw spots, and that's like, well, if I you know, what are the things that really get you triggered into getting you into those demon dialogues?
Yes.
And now we're into the third conversation, which is revisiting a rocky moment. And yes. So first of all, how did that summary go? Was it okay?
It was great. And you know, what you basically said is that those conversations and the one we have today are all about you understanding how moments of disconnection can put you both off balance. And when you're off balance, you don't dance together very well. You sort of fall apart, you fall and you push each other off balance. And if we have worked with couples for so long, we understand that you have to have your balance. You have to have this safe platform to stand on before you can go and really, really go into the second part of you know, the program and learn how to go towards hold me tight conversations. So this is like the last conversation of really getting how you get disconnected, how you can freak each other out, and kind of getting control of that so that it doesn't come in and control you. And then you can start deepening your bond very deliberately in a way that you can do for a lifetime, actually. I mean, you can just keep, you know, doing this for a lifetime. The second part of the hold me tight conversations are something that people do again and again and again.
So what I'm slowly getting, I think, is you are helping us to first see the dance so that we can then, once you understand the dance, you can then actually pay attention to the thing that matters, which is the music.
Yes, you can pay attention to the music, the emotional cues.
Yeah.
And you can tune into each other. That's, you can't tune in to a partner, no matter how much you love them. You can't tune into them when you're freaked out of your mind and you're feeling rejected or abandoned, when you feel like your whole relationship's going over the cliff. You're not going to be able to pay attention. You're not going to be able to look into their face and go, oh, I see. Your voice sounds angry, but your eyes are so sad. I really resonate with your, you don't do that when you're flying over a cliff. Yes, exactly. You just can't do it. So it's important to have these three conversations and take care of moments when disconnection comes and hits you and hits you both off balance. And I think the important thing is for people to get is that happens to everybody.
Right.
There's no perfect partner. There's no soulmate that isn't going to happen with. There's no superheroes in relationships. There's no that those moments of disconnection and lack of balance happen to everyone. The issue is, how do you deal with them? Do you deal with them in a way that pulls you back together? Or do you deal with them in a way where the other person starts to look like the enemy and you're just caught in this dreadful thing of disconnection, which you guys know all about?
Well, I guess ipso facto, and I don't ever really know if I'm using that phrase right, but
ipso facto, that's the one. I love that, ipso facto, okay.
Right, just think about the other side of that. If there is no superhero in relationships, there's no such thing as a superhero in a relationship, that also means that you can take the pressure off your partner because they're not the enemy as well.
They're gonna, if you know, I say to people, if you're gonna dance with somebody, they're gonna step on your toes and they're gonna go in the other direction when you thought they were gonna go left, they're gonna go right. And that's just because they're human.
Yeah.
That's just because you can't be tuned in and listening to each other all the time. The point is, what do you do with those moments? What do you do with them? And we haven't even helped people have this kind of conversation. We haven't even helped people look at their relationships. Why are we surprised that so many of us get stuck in disconnection? Oh, duh. You know, people say to me, I don't know why you're working with relationships. You know, so many people decide to split and divorce. And I say, are you kidding? Are you kidding me? Like, most people have never really seen a good loving relationship in action, so they don't know what they don't even know what they're aiming towards. We never help anybody. We never tell anybody what it looks like. We never help them understand their emotions. You know, are you kidding me? The fact that, you know, what is it in Canada? 37% of people divorce right now. The fact that most of us stay together, my God, that's a tribute to the human spirit and to the power of bonding and to our courage.
Okay. You know, like, but hold on, you just said 37% of marriages are what?
In Canada, about 37% of people divorce. It's so lower than...
I've always heard the one in two thing.
No, it's not true. The divorce is dropping. The divorce rates are dropping. And also, it very much depends on who's counting and how they count. But, you know, the 50-50 thing is exaggerated. We exaggerate, you know, journalists exaggerate. They exaggerate to how many people have affairs because it's more dramatic. You know, it's so dramatic to say half the people divorce. No, they don't. No, actually, you're wrong. And it's so dramatic to say, oh, I can't even remember the silly numbers I last saw in some big magazine. Bottom line is about 25% of men go outside their relationship, and often it's only for one night or a one night stand outside their committed relationship, and about 11% of women. And that's much smaller than most of the journalists. And, you know, we want to be bonded. We want relationships. We just haven't known how to do it.
Right, right. I have also heard that let me ask you, is it true that when it comes to actually ending the marriage, that women usually are the ones to pull the trigger?
Yes. But I think the tricky part you have to remember about all these stats is it depends on the population they were looking at and how they counted the numbers. And it's much trickier to add these numbers up than it sounds when you just present them on a, you know, a kind of the finished product. But there is research that says that often it's women who actually say, okay, we're done. They actually say that, you know. So, but what does that mean? I'm not sure. Well, yes, your lady did. But look, she did. But excuse me, she's here right now.
Yes, you know? Yes, it's a good thing. Okay, let's get into conversation number three, revisiting a rocky moment.
Yes.
How do you want to go about this?
Well, I think we need to understand that in a way, this one, conversation three, revisiting a rocky moment, is really saying to you guys, hey, you guys, have you got an image of your dance? You called it the moon dance, which I loved because of whack. I loved the idea that one of you waxes and one of you wait. I thought that was so clever. You called it the moon dance. So I think what this conversation is really doing is it's saying, do you understand the moments that you get disconnected and how that can take over your relationship? And do you understand that in those moments, you're touching each other's raw places, places where you're vulnerable? And it's really saying, let's make sure you understand this, guys. And let's make sure that you can look at a specific situation where you got caught. Maybe it's way in the past. I don't care where it is. That you can apply what you've learned in the last two conversations and look at a situation and see how you could have done something different. It's kind of like summing up the first two conversations before we go into the next conversation, which is the biggie, which is hold me tight. And I'm going to ask you to take risks with each other. So this is like saying, hey guys, yes, did you see that word, risk? Okay, yeah. Say, hey guys, have we got this down now? I mean, nobody's got it down forever. You know, you keep learning and it gets easier. But basically, it's like this conversation is saying, let's make sure you know your moon dance, you know how you get into it, you know how you trigger each other. Let's make sure that you're able to call it when it happens, right? Let's look at a situation where you would have got stuck, and what would you do now? It's kind of insurance, if you like. It's like saying, let's make sure you're solid, understanding where you disconnect, before we follow up and really take care of your connection.
Okay. All right. So you wanted us last time, you said this, and of course we discovered this reading the chapter, you wanted us to revisit a rocky moment that wasn't too long ago. And that's good, because as we've said earlier, we actually, you know, we verbalized this earlier this afternoon in such a great way. I don't know if we can replicate it again, but it was something like, now that we don't have the anchor of, you know, triggers and bitterness and all that stuff from before, it feels like we've just been catapulted into a new relationship.
Yes.
And so along with that comes, honestly, you know, some things like, geez, I can't, you know, because we're emotionally disconnected from so much of the past, we're not as triggered by, now we're still triggered, but not as triggered by so much in the past.
That's great. That's great.
So,
but I still want you to think about a rocky moment where you are triggered and take care of it differently.
So we've decided that we're going to, with great trepidation, share the last night of the honeymoon blow up and what exactly happened.
Yeah, you said, I just want us to remember that last time when you were talking about your raw spots, you guys were amazing. Okay, I want you to remember that, Drew, you talked about really being freaked out by her disapproval, about not feeling valued, feeling lonely, and you wanted to be seen and approved of, and that it was scary when you got that somehow she could turn away from you and leave you alone and disapprove of you. Is that okay, what I just said?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. All right. And Bev, you said, I don't see him being scared. I don't see him being scared. I see him being angry. I know he wants my attention, but he gives me dirty looks and he's angry. So I used to just avoid by doing things like getting up for getting coffee, right? But she said, but you said underneath, my fear is, I think you were really talking about rejection, but that's a great big abstract label. You were very good at what you said. You said, underneath, I say to myself, I'm never going to please him. I'm never going to be enough. He's going to be angry at me. And I feel hopeless and helpless. And I get overwhelmed. So I just shut down. Right? And that's where you get... Yeah, and you get to, the cycle was you shutting down and moving away, and then Drew saying, I'm lonely, where are you? You don't value me, you don't see me, I'm going to push.
No, so you it actually goes like this. Why are you moving away? which you know, that works magic. Like, that's just a great way to handle
especially
it.
Especially when you get in her face like that. And then, of course, she used a very important word, actually. She said overwhelmed. And I think I hear that so much from people who move away and shut down. Their partner says, they don't care about me. My hurt doesn't matter. My love doesn't matter because they just move away. But in fact, the person's moving away because they're overwhelmed by what's going on. It's not because they don't care at all. Mm-hmm. So that's very important. But you guys were fantastic last time. And you said, this is the music that's going on. Yes, really. You said, this is the music that's going on in our relationship, right? If you can get the dance and get the music, you can have control over it. So let's talk. Let's apply everything we've learned to this rocky moment of the, what was it? The fight in the night of the honeymoon. Was that it? The fight?
Yeah, well, it was the last night of the honeymoon and it got to the point where Bev went, oh, here we go again on the honeymoon.
Well, sure. Jeez. You know, whatever, right? Okay, so let's revisit it then. What happened? But let's look at it now with the knowledge we've got from the last two conversations. Let's revisit it. So let's just look at just what happened. What happened? If you looked at it from a distance, you've looked at the dance. It's the moon dance, right?
Yeah.
What what happened, right? The demon died. The demon came in and started. People, you got triggered. So what happened? Drew, what did you do?
Why are you starting with me?
Why not? Why not?
Well, you happen to be right, but you didn't know that. So we had communicated that the last night was going to be spent a couple of different ways. You know, last night a honeymoon might be good to have a little bit of sexy time. And it also might be good to go out and have some fun. We met, you know, this other couple and some people, and there was a karaoke thing happening, and that's always fun to go laugh at people who can't sing. One of your compatriots, Simon Cowell, taught us how to laugh at people who can't sing.
So. Okay.
Anyway, so it turned out karaoke was going to be later, so we had some time to kill. So we thought, well, let's bump up sexy time. So that was good. We bumped up sexy time, and then I thought maybe we would go out afterwards because we had talked about that. Well, of course, you know, Bev didn't feel like going out, and that makes total sense. So I said, well, do you mind if I still go? And she said, no, totally. Yeah, absolutely. Go. And I looked at her and said, are you sure? You know, are you sure? I think I said it twice. Yeah. And she said, yeah, go. Because we'd already had a discussion about the fact that if we're getting back together, I'm going to need to be able to go out and still have a life and do some fun things. And she's got to be okay with that, or she feels okay with that.
Yeah, and not to feel rejected if I don't want to go with him.
Yes.
And I'm okay with him going out and
speaking. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So I went out and wasn't out very long, came back, and I kind of opened the door quietly, went into the room, and the lights were on. I thought, oh man, I'm busted. No, but she was up and she was watching TV, but it was strange because normally she'd go to bed. So, and then I thought, well, maybe, you know, it's time for, maybe we could do sexy time again, you know? But then I got shut down and I was like, whoa, that felt kind of, and then I said, what's going on? And then she sort of went into her avoiding thing, and then she rolled over and just sort of said, forget about it. So I went, well, that's ridiculous. So I shut off the light. And so I was huffy and she was huffy. Then she started crying and it killed me. And I couldn't just leave it at that. And so we turned on the light. I said, okay, what's going on here? And then we talked through it about what was happening. And Bev, your reaction was because?
Drew's very good at drawing things out of me. And I didn't know why I was upset. But when we started talking it through, although I said, yeah, sure, go out. Because I was, you know, advocating him to go do it. But I guess I really, I didn't want him to go out. And I wanted him to choose to stay with me, not knowing that's what I wanted, but I was saddened after he left, thinking, oh, wow, he went out. But I told him to go out. But so it was a realization to myself. I went, well, I really didn't want him to go out because I'm feeling sad that he went out. So.
And she's not a game player. So she literally didn't realize that she didn't want to go out until later. Like she wasn't playing some, soap opera game.
Suddenly he's gone out and it doesn't feel so good, right?
Yeah.
Right, and then what happened for you?
So we talked about it, and we talked about a few different things, triggers from the past. And, you know, I said to him, I didn't realize when I said for you to go out that I didn't want you to go out, but it's a new feeling for me to actually want him to stay with me, because before I was just like, get lost. So, you know, in this new relationship that we're in, I want him around and I like his company. And
never heard that before.
Yeah. And I even said to him today while we were talking, I said, you know, I thought that I'd want you to be around less. And
you mean living at the farm?
Living
now.
At the farm.
Yeah. Bev has created a really beautiful space at the farm. And one of our concerns getting back together was, you can't be around all the time, man. This is a nice serenity. You know, I've created this. And if you're here all the time, it might drive me nuts, but.
Yeah, it hasn't.
So you help me. This is beautiful, actually. This is you saying, We used to get caught in this horrible pattern, this horrible dance. Mm-hmm. And somehow the only way I knew to survive in that dance was to kind of shut down and take my space. So yeah, that's what I was used to. And I did it to the nth degree, to the point where I said, we're going to split up, right? Yeah. And suddenly we're back together. And I'm used to coping by saying, yes, I want my space, so sure, you can go out. But suddenly something's changed. And you find, hey, wait a minute, how come he went? How come he left me here, right? But you're able to talk about it. But it's interesting, because what you're saying is, the only way I survived somehow in our past relationship with all the things that were going on is to take space and move away and avoid, right? And now I'm realizing that, and I'm realizing that actually something huge has changed, because I want you close, I want you with me. Am I getting it?
Yeah, for sure. And Drew says,
that's huge.
So you wanted me to be here. I went, I guess I did. It surprised me as much as it surprised him.
Well, what I'm hearing is, you needed that space. This guy is a big, strong personality, right? And you used to get overwhelmed. So in the past, you needed to take that space. You needed to have him go away so that you could kind of get your balance back. But yep, now things have changed. You're more equal. You're coming back to have, you're changing the whole relationship. And now maybe you don't feel so overwhelmed and you don't need all that space. Yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
That's great. So you were able to do, you tell me, guys, in way in the distant past, it would just have gone classic, moon dance, would it? In the past, it would have gone, how would it have gone in the past?
Oh, then? Yeah, great question. I can tell you exactly how it would have gone in the past. Hey, I'm going to go out and have fun. And you're fine with that, right? Yeah, you're fine. Okay, go out. So I go out, and I would have been out a heck of a lot later, number one. Number two, she wouldn't have been up. She would have been falling asleep, and because whatever, we're both in whatever land. And but if there was, let's just play this through a little bit more. If there was a little bit of, all right, hey, let's have some sexy time now, baby, and she shut me down, well, I would be sucky about that, and I would be rejected and hurt, you know, typical guy stuff in that whole arena. And but then if we did inevitably have that conversation, it probably wouldn't have happened until 2 or 3 days of cold shoulders, silence, passive aggression, that kind of thing. And then it would be a blow up, and it would be and I would just pounce. I mean, verbally pounce on her. Well, you said, and you gave me permission, and there was no problem, and blah, blah, blah. And the blame shift would be all over her. And I would walk away victorious and feeling like the strong victim that I know I can be.
Well, and you see, what's so interesting about that is the word, you know, because you said I would walk away in the past victorious. Tricky part is, we're human, right? So when the opposite side to feeling powerless and vulnerable is, I'm victorious, I'm in control, and we love that moment of, hey, you know, I showed that person, or hey, there you are, you see, I'm in control. But actually, it's a craziness, because what it means is the other person's the enemy or a stranger or distant. And so we've actually, you know, it's kind of a funny, it's a victory of sort of feeling good about ourselves for a moment. But then when it really comes down to it, we have no connection with that person. So it's a good word that for that moment you say, well, I'm right, I've won, I'm in charge. And the tricky part is it doesn't last for very long, because you don't have the other person, which is what the whole fight was about in the first place, right?
Well, so, sure. And the victory is still just smoke and mirrors. It's actually deception, because what do I really want? I actually, my entire life with Bev, have wanted her to say to me, actually, I would rather you stay home with me tonight. Would you mind staying with me tonight? And here she was feeling that. That's all I've ever wanted.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes. We're so funny, aren't we? It takes so long for us human beings to suddenly realize exactly what it is we want. That's part of the sort of sadness that we have as human beings. it takes us so long to really figure out how to really be ourselves and to be good at being alive. It's kind of like, hey, wait a minute, I need another 100 years now because, you know, I've just figured it out.
Yeah. You know, it's funny when we're playing, sorry, we're taking a break now. It's intermission time. When we're playing this stuff and I'm listening to it here in the studio, I'm like, oh, why did I agree to do this? There are some things that, like, I don't look good in some of this stuff. It's all about
physically
looking,
or sound wise, sound bites. I can agree with you on both counts.
Oh, man.
Maybe you should use a little Vaseline on the lens.
What?
Don't you remember, like, in the old days, they would put Vaseline on the lens to give that soft look?
First of all, let's talk about the way you say Vaseline. Vaseline. What's with the Z in it? Vaseline.
Because it's German.
Oh, okay.
Vasa, meaning
anyway,
water.
You are listening.
Meaning oil.
That's still rolling, by the way. You are listening to the Drew Marshall Show. Thank you for tuning in. We are in the middle of a little segment we're calling Rebuilding Love. How can a marriage rebuild after it ends? This is a 9-week series with myself and my wife and relationship guru and psychologist Dr. Sue Johnson. My wife and I tried 28 years of doing marriage our way, but it ended. However, after a long separation, we recently renewed our vows on a small deserted island off the coast of Mexico.
The plane.
Anyway, to make sure I don't screw it up again, I asked renowned psychologist Dr. Sue Johnson to help my wife and I rebuild our love using the tools that we have found in her Hold Me Tight program. If you have been listening or you've been following this and you are interested in, you know, maybe you and your partner doing the Hold Me Tight program yourself, you go to drewmarshall.ca and click on Hold Me Tight and you can register for the program there. Yes, it costs money, but let me tell you, it doesn't cost near as much as paying a therapist for you to watch.
So or a divorce lawyer.
Or a divorce lawyer, yeah. Don Bennett, we love you.
But.
We love you. Yeah, someone said to me the other day, because I've got to buy a, well, not got to. Hold on, let me back that up. I bought a ring.
Okay.
Which she returned, by the way.
Really? So she didn't put a ring on it?
No, she's just, she, you know, I knew there was an, the odds were high that she was going to return it. She wants something. I mean, if you had to wear something on your finger the whole time, you'd want the one that you want.
Did she reject him or she didn't like the ring?
Reject him? Thank you for the Freudian. What are we talking about?
You said she returned the ring.
Yeah.
So she rejected him or she just didn't
Who's
like the
him?
Ring?
Who's him? I'm the guy with the ring.
Oh, sorry. You didn't make that clear.
Okay, I'm looking at the interns. Is Tim dopey or is it just... Okay.
Sorry. Sorry.
Anyway, where were we?
Little more ice for my drink.
Wow.
Hey, Dean Martin.
All right, listen, we're going to go back to part two of Rebuilding Love. How can a marriage rebuild after it ends? This is this 9-week series with myself, my wife and I, and Dr. Sue Johnson, psychologist. And this is all about talking about...
Rocky roads.
Yeah, rocky. This is a rocky moment. Rocky revisiting moment. Sorry, rocky moment. Yeah. Sounds like ice cream moment.
Da, da, da. Oh, different Rocky.
I went ice cream, you went boxer. All right, have a listen.
Hey, we can work this out, Adrian.
Okay, so it would have been pretty awful before, and it would have gone into distance and resentment, and then what would have happened is you'd have pounced, right, on her, and you'd have proved that she was wrong and blown up, and then, Bev, you'd have said, all I see is anger, I'll never please him, I'm hopeless and helpless, I'm overwhelmed, and you'd have just shut down more. And that's what have happened in the past. But this time, weren't you brilliant? You went in and you were able to pause, slow things down, say, hey, wait a minute, right? You were able to say, wait a minute, I didn't actually want the space now. I'm feeling safer with this man. I didn't actually want him to go, right? And you were able, and you use the word sad, which is such a simple word, you know, but we so often we don't say it. We don't say I'm sad and we don't say I'm afraid. I don't know what it is with us when we're adults that we have such a hard time with those two words. But we say I'm angry, you know, that's okay. But we don't say I'm sad. You told him, well, I'm kind of sad. You know, I'm realizing I didn't want you to go. I want you to be with me. And you were able to listen, yeah?
I'm sorry, what?
You were able to listen to that.
Yes.
So, yeah, you were able to listen to that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I felt it coming up inside of me, the desire to be right. The desire to say to Bev, dude, I asked you twice. Am I the only person that calls his wife dude?
Yeah.
I asked you twice if it was okay. And you said yes. You looked straight in my face, said, yeah, no worries. And since I know you're not a game player and there's no drama here, I knew it was fine. And now I come back and I'm in trouble for nothing. So I felt that. I felt that come up. And then when she cried, like, that's been a tough thing for me over the years when Bev has broken down and cried. Maybe it's the same with a lot of dudes, but, and when I mean dudes, not dudes. Uncomfortable. Like, I remember early on in our marriage, I would sort of laugh at her. Honestly, I would laugh at her and go, you're crying? Come on. Yeah.
Hang on, I'm going to slow you down because you said a couple of really important things. What I heard you say was, you know, I started to feel like she was disapproving of me. So I was trying to say, hey, you told me to go out. You told me to go out because that's your trigger to feel somehow disapproved of, right? Like you're not being valued. That's your trigger. But you didn't stay there. You felt it. You said, well, wait a minute, you told me to go, right? Like, don't tell me, you know, I've disappointed you as a husband by going when you told me to go. But it didn't get going because then Bev did something amazing. She showed you her vulnerability. She showed you her softer feelings. She cried. And then you said something really important. You said, tricky part is that for lots of guys, they don't know, they are sensitive, they don't want to be disapproved of, right? And they get triggered by something else. But then if their partner cries, they don't know what to do with that and they get uncomfortable and they don't know how to respond. But it sounds to me like you did know how to respond. How did you respond to her crying?
Well, she did it in the dark because she finally probably felt safe enough to cry because he was in the dark, and I just took a beat and said, all right, hold on, we've got to talk about this. So I turned on the light and said, what's going on? I think I just sounded the way I repeated it to you. I made myself sound softer and more wiser than it actually came out. I probably said, oh hey, what's going on? Like, I was a little more,
yeah, but look at what you did. Look at what you did. You turned towards her, right? You didn't say, oh, now you're crying. You know, I don't know why you're crying. Or you didn't stay silent, right? Because you were uncomfortable. You know, you didn't find problem solved by saying, well, if you hadn't told me to go out, maybe you wouldn't be crying. Didn't do any of those. No. But you turned to her and you said, what's going on?
Yeah, and then when I was able to put, you know, able to realize what I was feeling and digging down deep, and I was able to say, well, I guess I really didn't want you to go. That was like music to his ears. He's like, oh, that's exactly what I wanted to know and to hear and to feel.
Yeah.
And so that's everything that he's always wanted is just, you know, if I said, no, please don't go. I'd love for you to stay here with me tonight. He would have went, oh, okay.
Right.
But
look at what you did. You both did so well because he got triggered, but he didn't go into blaming and being right and victorious. He stayed open enough to turn to you and say, what's going on? Mm. And so he did something really different than the moon dance. And look what you did. I want you to see what you did, because if you didn't see what you did, you can't repeat it. Look what you did. You didn't shut down and say, oh, here we go again. I'm hopeless and helpless. You know, I'm just going to protect myself. You turned and you took a risk and you said, you showed him your softer feelings. You said, Well, actually, I felt sad because I didn't really want you to go. How could you go, you know? And I think that's amazing. You did great.
I do need to bring up something. I shared this with a friend of mine, and he said, "Are you an idiot?" I said, "What?" She said, "I could go." It doesn't matter. You don't leave after sex, ever.
Well, that did occur to me, but I wasn't going to say it, Drew. I was being...
Now you know why I get a little awkward about this. Listen, these are the kind of conversations that I hope are vulnerable enough for people to listen to and go, yes, and just because so much of this stuff has been swept under the carpet, especially in the God scene. You know, ooh, Christian couples don't have sex. Really?
Oh, yes, we do.
So even just the S word is still...
Oh, sex. Yes. Sorry, I thought a different word. The
sanctimonious.
The Sinead O'Connor word.
Yes. Anyway, if you have, I don't know, if you think these conversations are at all going to help you and your husband or wife, then go to drewmarshall.ca and click on the Hold Me Tight banner that's right across the top of the page. You can either watch the previous videos, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. When we post new ones, then you can find those as well. Or register for the course, the Hold Me Tight program. That's all at drewmarshall.ca as well. So thanks for letting my wife and I be really open and vulnerable here. And we hope it is. We've heard from so many people that this conversation is really, really helping.
Even Rob Gerber?
No, not Rob Gerber.